Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
I've never been this nervous in my life.
Greetings from Longtime No See the Podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Tour set, pop!
This past week, we got our first voice message from a fellow iconic, Michelle, who
yes.
has been listening to the podcast for a while now. We are so grateful that she ended up leaving us a voice message, and we're just so excited that we got one. And mm-hmm. we kind of want to encourage you all to check out our website on Anchor and leave us a voice message too. So we wanted to share Michelle's voice message with all of you. So here's what she had to say.
Hi guys, it's Michelle. The notification for your new podcast just popped up on my phone. Not only is it the fanfic files, which, yay, you know I love them, but oh my God, it's your fic, Bethany. I can't wait until after work to listen. I'm so excited. Bye.
Oh my gosh, when I saw that she sent in a message, I was just so excited, and it just is so nice to hear her voice and to like hear her excitement about the episode. And it was just so, so sweet. I felt
it
when
was very
that she
sweet.
Took the time to send that in.
Yeah, totally made her day. And when we got the message or the notification, we both were texting each other like, oh my God, we got to go listen to it right now, right this minute. And yeah, it really made our day.
Yeah. So thank you for sending that in, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
On that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yes, welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, I'm so damn in love with Namgi.
Oh, me too. Mm. Or I cannot express enough how grateful I am for getting subunit performances.
Yes. If you're here for that, then you're in the right place, because today we are talking about Bang Bang Con, the live, our experience in watching it and, you know, just our reaction to the performance. But before we get into today's episode, we do want to extend a thank you to you Iconics for being here and for your support. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links, and pictures, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support you guys have to offer is super appreciated.
Yes, thank you guys so much. Also, please continue to donate to the Black Lives Matter charity organization. That is our highlighted charity of the month this month of June. Please continue to donate if you can by following the link in the description or going to blacklivesmatter.com.
Okay, so for an overview for this episode, we're going to first start by talking about our personal experiences with BonBonCon the Live, and then we're going to cover the entire set list for the virtual concert, with more discussion into these subgroup performances and the new like choreo and performances that were done. And then at the end, we're just going to wrap it up with our overall thoughts of the online concert experience and what the future might hold for BTS, ARMY, and concerts.
Yeah, okay. So some general info about BangBangCon the Live. It was streamed via Weverse on June 14th around the world at 6 p.m. Korean Standard Time, which where we are here in the middle of the United States, that was 4 a.m. here.
The Midwest.
Yep, here in the Midwest. this was a 100-minute long performance, and it was performed across two different stages with six different sets and rooms.
Really awesome. So for me, I had heard about this on Twitter, which I've been way active on Stan Twitter lately. I don't know what's gotten into me. But I kept seeing people speculating that there were going to be new performances for this live concert. And specifically, there were going to be subunit performances. So I'm like, oh, okay, I have to get a ticket. I just have to. So I hadn't even really talked to you about it, Kayla. I just went in and bought the ticket. But of course, when it was going live on June 14th, I'm like, damn it, I'm going to be at Lake of the Ozarks and I'm not going to have signal. Like the chances of me having signal is going to be so slim. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I got there, there wasn't any signal. But I did tell Kayla, I've told you, like, you can use my Weverse account and watch it because I'm not going to be able to really even see it. So I gave you all my information. So you got to watch it.
Yeah.
And gratefully, we found a way to watch it when I got back into Kansas City after Lake of the Ozarks, that we could be together and watch it together. So I was really grateful that I still got to see it with you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when it was actually streamed live, I wasn't able to watch it.
Yeah, I do want to give a little additional info before I go into my story is that, yes, you were in Lake of the Ozarks, and I know we were just talking shit on Lake of the Ozarks for Memorial Day. Bethany was not out at like bars partying at Lake of the Ozarks.
No.
She was camping with a very small group of friends, like isolated.
We weren't even in Lake of the Ozarks. Like, well, we were at the lake, but we weren't in Osage Beach, which is where all those parties go down. We were in like a really small town called Lori, super far north, or I don't even know which direction, but away from Osage Beach.
Yeah. So thankfully, since you bought this ticket and gave me your Weverse login information, I was determined to be up for the live stream of this. I still feel regret in my heart for like missing practically all of the original BangBangCon when it was live. And there was absolutely no way I was missing any of it this time. So I got up, I set an alarm for like 3:45 in the morning. And then again at like 3:50, I got up. I was gonna make coffee. I ended up just having like the previous day's leftover coffee just warmed up in a mug. I set up my laptop on my kitchen counter because I was like, there's no way I can sit down and watch this. Like I already knew I needed to just stand. So my laptop, I had my AirPods in. So I was just in my dark kitchen, totally blocked out from the world. Like it was like there was nothing around me because my headphones were in and all I could like see and hear really was BTS. So I even got my ARMY bomb because there was a really cool feature that you could connect your ARMY bomb to the live stream. So it would like light up during performances. Mine didn't do anything for like most of the concert until they got to Boy With Love. And then it started lighting up with the ARMY bombs that were in the background. But it was cool that it did connect. I at first was in my pajamas and I was like jumping and bouncing around too much that I was like, I need to put on a bra. I need to put on clothes. Like I was getting sweaty. Like, so
awesome.
Yeah. So anyways, it was a whole event. Like to me, it really felt like a concert, like a personal concert in my darkened kitchen in the early morning. But
I bet. And just to know that it was live and that you were watching them in real time.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like I wish I could have had that experience, but I'm grateful that I just got to see it in general.
Yeah. The factor of it being live, I think knowing that all of the army, like live tweeting with all of our iconics on Twitter and interacting with everybody in real time, seeing there was like a chat on the side of the screen, seeing BTS say something and armies reacting in the chat. And then like BTS would read it. It was so cool. It was super cool. So
very neat. Yeah. Very neat. So when we're going to record this episode, it's June 23rd and they still have not put the video or like the concert up on Weverse to access again. So if you guys are wanting to rewatch the performance, we have it linked in our Google Doc for all of you patrons. We do want to give credit to @YesDaddyJimin on Twitter
Amazing
for providing
name.
Us with this link.
Yes.
Yeah, Yes Daddy Jimin.
Yes. Thank you. So if you share that link with anybody, just make sure you DM it to people. You don't want to tweet it directly out because you don't want somebody to find it and then take it down easily. So getting into the performance and the set list a little bit, we're really going to hit on the things that resonated with us as we watched it and as we experienced it. So some songs and performances will be spoken about at length and some will only have a couple comments. And this is especially true when we come to songs that we have and haven't seen performed before.
So for this set list, it consisted of 12 songs, including Dope, Boys With Fun, Like, Just One Day, Jamais Vu, Respect, Friends, Black Swan, Boy With Love, Go-Go, Anpan Man, and it ended with Spring Day.
Mm-hmm. What a set list, you know? This is such a great little set list. And what I thought was cool is after this performance on Apple Music, BTS posted a playlist that they made that was just a playlist of these 12 songs.
Yeah, really neat. We also have that linked in the Google Doc.
Mm-hmm.
So the concert began with Dope, and it begins with a camera shot down a hallway, and Namjoon opens this double door at the end of the hallway and walks in. Instead of saying the original Dope quote, he says, "Welcome. Never been to BonBonCon before, huh?"
Oh,
super cute. I love so that they cute. Changed it. But I truly love that they opened with Dope because it's so personal for us. I fell in love with BTS because of Dope. That was the song that really made me fall in love. And when I was introducing you to BTS, I showed you Dope because it resonated with me so much. Mm-hmm. And it was like a game changer for me. So yeah, it just was really neat that they opened with Dope.
Yeah, that was the first song that you ever showed me, the first music video I ever saw of BTS. And so it was just special that that's how they started the concert. Totally. It was like, oh, this is where it all began for us. And it's the beginning of the concert. Yeah.
Yeah. Starting off BonBonCon with the song that started it all for us.
Yeah.
Very special.
Uh-huh. Obviously, seeing all of them walk down this hallway as they slowly enter, they all look incredible. Like,
oh yeah,
we could say it 1,000 times throughout this whole episode, but no matter what song, oh my gosh, like their outfits, their hair, like they look so stunning.
Yeah, they are styled perfectly and very much to their own style too, which was what was really cute.
Yeah. I just want to especially shout out Hobie's flowered hoodie. I just really loved that with like all the little flowers around and the pink sleeve. And I just felt like it was so him and it looks so good. And I just, I love that style.
Yeah, me too.
Super blessed to be wrecked by Dope Choreo in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Right after Dope, they went immediately into Boys With Fun. And I just felt like, immediately when I was watching this, I felt like I was attending a concert. Just the fact that they started with these two songs, like immediately right out the gate, they were able to bring so much energy and so much excitement to the stage, even without the screams of thousands of armies supporting them, at least in the room. I was definitely screaming in my kitchen at 4 a.m., but like, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure so many other armies were too. Yeah. It, definitely very hype. Very, very hype. felt like a concert. It really felt like a concert. They were starting off with so much energy and excitement, just like you mm-hmm. said.
Yeah, and especially with these two classic BTS songs, like you're taken back to so many moments where they've performed these and where they've performed them in an actual concert, you know, so that really mm-hmm. made us able to feel that way. I really loved at the beginning of this song when they're just kind of vibing in a circle facing each other. It feels like they're hyping each other up. And I think we noticed them throughout this concert kind of hyping each other up. And because mm-hmm. ARMY wasn't there to do it, but I love
ARMY wasn't there. Yeah, they were having to rely on each other for and feed off each other for energy and excitement for mm-hmm. this really 100-minute long performance, this concert that they did. I can't imagine yeah. how much of a struggle it was for them, but we'll get more into that later. Mm-hmm. Something I really love about Boys With Fun is just being a Taeyong stan, and a lot of other ARMYs know that this song for Taeyong, it's signature for him to create a new piece of choreography. And he did this super cute, adorable choreography where he had kind of like those 70s peace signs where he's like bringing, you know, wiggling uh-huh. over his eyes and wiggling along to it with a super cute, adorable smile. Oh. And once he does the dance, all of the other members, you know, also do the dance after seeing him do it. So it was just really cute to see that.
Oh,
and
my
Boys
gosh.
With Fun. Oh, such a great song.
Yeah. Just thinking about that choreo, I can't help but to smile because it was so freaking cute.
So like, freaking cute. And you can see Yoongi and Jungkook behind him looking at him smiling because they're like, fuck, that's cute. Yeah. Adorable.
Yeah. Love.
So after this, they kind of go into their introduction mint, and it really feels exactly like a concert. This is something that they do at concerts. They start off high energy. They just come in and blow you out of the water right from the start. And then they kind of walk and they get into the introduction. They all introduce themselves, etc.
Yeah, they introduce themselves just like a concert too. You know, like the way that they, mm-hmm. like even J-Hope was like, I'm your hope. You're my hope. Like, oh, so yeah. cute.
Mm-hmm. They were still doing the call response thing where they're still trying to get us to interact with them from our homes, which was really cool. And I'm yeah. sure very hard to do. But they go in and they do a couple mints throughout the concert, which is what they do at concerts. We're not going to get too in depth on those. And then there were also VCRs in between performances throughout this concert, just like they do at a live concert. So these VCRs consisted of them like having them do ASMR clips or staring contests with us, which was really cute. What a wonderful way to keep our attention. And it's just cute. And the staring contest I thought was so interactive.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah. Literally not allowing us to look away, you know, making it a staring contest.
I know.
Yeah.
And we just want to look into all of their eyes.
Their eyes.
For
yeah.
sure.
yeah.
But really what added to the concert feel as well was they all had their individual concert mics that they have mm-hmm. at actual concerts, which I yeah. feel like it wouldn't be a concert without those. So I'm glad that they had them.
Definitely. Just the visual of that, again, really contributed to that true concert feeling. In this, like, they're hanging out in, like, this living room space during this first introduction mint. And then in this same space, they go right into their next song, which is, like, classic. Oh, my gosh.
Classic.
Throwing it back to their first debut album with such an incredible song. And for this, they each had a Samsung phone and they did individual Salka cams. And this was really amazing live because you could select the multicam view and see all of them at the same time, as well as like what the main camera was showing. So yeah, that was just so fun. And during mm-hmm. this performance, they just kind of go around the room and kind of explore the room and take video of themselves singing. It's just nice.
Yeah, they look very comfortable, laid back. They're just really throwing us all the visuals that they can with these Salka cams. Something mm-hmm. that I just was particularly fangirling over was Jin's lips. We got wonderful shots of Jin's lips for this, and he kept kissing at us, and I'm just such a sucker for Jin's kisses, but aren't
yeah.
we all?
Oh my gosh, we all are. If he didn't have just like such perfect kissable lips, you know, then we'd be fine. But
so
here he is. Yeah. Anyways, I think both of us just really loved that they included this song in the set list because we both really love this song.
We do. And while they were kind of moving around the room, we were too captivated by their beautiful, stunning visuals to notice that they were collecting chairs in the center of the room to lead into their next song of the set list, which is Just One Day.
Yeah.
Really, we did not notice that they were pulling these chairs together. And once we got seamless. That, like, yeah, so seamless. And when we got that faraway shot, we were like, oh my God, they're sitting in chairs. We know what's happening now. It's Just One Day. Chair choreography.
Oh my God. Can BTS teach us how to transition? Because that transition was flawless. Like, can they teach a master class? What really struck me during this performance was Taeyong, because I feel like he has grown so much since the original performances of this song. When Jordan and I watched this together later on, he commented like, wow, do you remember that dance practice video of Just One Day? And they kept having to make cuts because Taeyong was laughing and was like, couldn't control himself. Like his face was purple and, you know, and even when he's standing up in his chair during his individual part in that dance practice, he can't help but to crack up. And then seeing him during this performance, like big boy getting up there, deep voice, just flawless, full man, you know?
Yeah.
And just chill and calm. Like, it's not like that really young playfulness that's coming through anymore. It's like you are mature now. That just really struck me.
A very large grown-up man. We need to see a side-by-side of those two performances.
Especially that
dance practice video that you're referring to. He's just cracking up the whole time. And I would go as far to say that's iconic. I feel most ARMYs know that he is like losing his shit throughout that entire dance practice. Something I really loved about Just One Day was when Jin got up on the chair with the flower, the rose, and how he kisses it. Something that I just love is how Jin is one of the most confident people and so like self-assured. But when he goes in to do this, he gets bashful and he has this kind of shy side to him. And I thought it was sweet to see that he got a little bashful and shy. Super cute.
The bashfulness is like a little bit more like, oh wow, that's so cute, or a little bit like pulls you in a little bit more because he's being kind of coy with it. And I think at the end he even like fake bites the flower, which is really cute too. I think he just had fun with it.
He did.
Now is also a good time to just point out vocals throughout this entire concert. Obviously, it's live vocals. They're using their concert mics. But really, like specifically Jimin, his high notes at the end of Just One Day were just so beautiful. And just their vocals throughout this song, throughout all of their other songs, are just coming through just perfection. It really, you know how when we go to a concert and we're like, wow, when they're live, it's just, it's hard to even conceive how incredible they are live, you know? And of course, we got to kind of experience that here. Okay, so right after Just One Day, we get Jamais Vu. And my excitement watching this live, seeing them walk out, I was so excited. Right when we see that Jamais Vu is happening, we know we're getting the rest of the subunits. So
yeah,
this was super exciting. The stage for Jamais Vu was like, first of all, there was a black and white filter, and in the back corner of this little room that they have are like some stairs that are ascending and descending on both sides with kind of a platform in the middle. Throughout their performance, they walk up and down these stairs, kind of cycling around, and sometimes they'll stop, you know, on a platform when it's their turn to sing. And then the rest of the background kind of has some other like upside down stairs and some like weird doors and stuff. So it's kind of just like an interesting space that they're in.
Yeah, the floor is also reflective, so mm-hmm. it's mirroring the staircase, and those images on the wall as well are reflected. So for me, it looks like that endless staircase optical illusion, and yeah. I feel that they were going for some form of optical illusion with it.
Yeah, and just the black and white filter, I think, really contributes to that optical illusion kind of feeling mm-hmm. that we get with it too. We obviously have to talk about their outfits for this performance. Those jeans. Oh my the gosh. Jeans. Okay, the jeans with the belt and the tucked in shirt, especially Jungkook with his jeans and his snatched fucking waist. Like, he looks so good. So, I mean, let me just take you guys through the process of watching this video and like experiencing their outfits. Like, first, you're hooked on Jungkook, right? Like, you're like, wow, those jeans, that waist, everything that's going on, incredible.
The thighs, his freaking thighs. Jungkook in those tight jeans with the belt and his waist and like his massive quads and hamstrings, like, it's a lot.
Stop. Just
it's a look for him.
I know, right? But then you see Jin, who's also very well filling out these jeans, looking thick and incredible. And like, then you glance over to the other side and you see fucking Hoseok, of course, looking incredible too. Yeah. And anyways, mm-hmm. so I was just overwhelmed by these simple outfits.
The visuals.
Yeah, the visuals.
Yeah. Unreal. Mm-hmm. But also the vocals, man. Yeah. Jin and Jungkook's vocals are absolutely beautiful. We got so many wonderful shots mm-hmm. of Jin just belting, bending over with everything he has. Yes, our absolute fave. And he knows we love it. And that's just like a technique he uses. We got to see that like, oh man, at least three times where he did that. And Jungkook's vocals are pristine, perfect as always. Mm-hmm. But also when Hoseok's rap happens, the amount of passion that J-Hope had for his rap verse was just mm-hmm. blowing my mind. So incredibly talented, so much energy, so much passion. Really well done. The whole thing was so well done. And all I kept thinking was when Jin was singing, I just want to give him all the melodies mm-hmm. and remedies he wants and needs. Yes. Like, I will provide you with that.
Yes. Anything you need.
I'm here.
I totally agree with you. I think that the vocals were just out of this world. Like, Jin and Jungkook, I think that this, like, this subunit is so unique. And it's not one like that you would immediately think about pairing together, but they complemented each other so incredibly well. And mm-hmm. just being able to see this live, hear how their vocals go together live, just even see their chemistry, how it, you know, how they work together live. I thought it was incredible.
It was
just absolutely so great. Later on in the song, we see the black and white filter dissolve into a color when Jin is singing his remedy, you know, just incredible.
Very cool addition.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I felt that the whole performance was well done. The mm-hmm. stage and the outfit suited the song so well. The performance itself was incredible. Like, I was really blown away with this performance. Yeah. When we were watching it together, I'm like, it is too early for me to start crying.
But it is. It's moving in that way because they are so passionate. They executed it, I think, perfectly. And I'm with you. I enjoyed it so much.
So after this, the camera kind of pans away and we see that, I don't know if they were on a platform that was revolving,
but rotated.
They were definitely sectioned walls. And we go over to this other, on the other side of this wall is a different stage with a very 80s vibe. We see a filter over the screen that has this retro film recording. Mm-hmm. We kept saying it's like a camcorder where you can see like a play button up in the corner, like a time down at the bottom. Mm-hmm. We see that the background is full of these colorful blocks that are flickering. To me, it looked like a TV screens that used to be put outside like stores in the window where people would like maybe walk up and watch the news, but it was like a store that was selling those TVs. So very 80s retro vibe. And there's a disco ball hanging in the center. And of course we see Namjoon and Yoongi, and the beginning of Respect is playing. So of course we're getting Respect next after this.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I have been waiting to talk about this one. Okay. So we have to talk about their outfits for this, obviously, as well.
Absolutely.
They're both wearing these like oversized 80s, 90s style suits with absolutely huge collars on their suits and on their button down shirts. Namjoon's suit is black with a red shirt underneath, and he also has a fucking ascot, okay, and a gold chain. So this combo is too much. And he's wearing these like 80s style, like green tinted glasses, kind of reminiscent of like what he wore at the Grammys, but not the same exact style, but super incredible, super hot somehow in this super outdated suit.
Yeah.
Then Yoongi, Yoongi's wearing a like same style suit, but it's tan with a white shirt underneath. And he has this thick black headband on that's pushing all of his hair kind of up and out. And it's really fluffy. And he's also wearing these yellow tinted glasses. Yeah.
I just have to say, Yoongi's hair was very distracting to me. Like, it was kind of wacky looking. I wasn't expecting it at all. And the whole 80s feel totally fits with the idea of Respect and the song and the style. But when I first saw the performance and these outfits, I was a little like, whoa, I'm having a hard time adjusting, especially Yoongi's hair.
Does his hair remind you a little bit of like Yoongi No era hair? Like that crazy spiky with the bandana.
Maybe a little bit. I wouldn't like even go that far.
Like it's
I think
there.
This was totally new. Totally new. Something we haven't seen before. Yeah. That I think that's why I was having a hard time adjusting. But in a good way.
I feel like it reminded me of like Mic Drop, like when they would all wear those thick ass headbands and but the hair is a little bit more unkempt. In the style.
Yeah, that's
it's like big 80s hair, maybe.
Yeah. And that's the whole point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the best things that came out of this performance was truly these two were having so much fun together. And I feel that they came up with this cute crisscross, simple step in, step out dance that they do. And oh man, when they do it, it's just so fun. And they're looking at each other, laughing with each other. I think Namjoon actually messed up the choreography and changed it. And Yoongi was kind of laughing that that had happened.
Just went with it.
Yeah. And they just went with it. And they had nothing but pure fun for this performance.
Yeah. They just, during this choreo, they were just feeding off of each other's energy so much. And I think that it helped them have such a good time and like get out of their heads a little bit of like, we're not performing this in front of people who are right here, you know? But because Namjoon in like a Ment did express like his nervousness with performing, you know, without an audience there. But I feel like they just support each other so well and work together so well that they just had a great time. Namgi.
The Namgi.
They were rapping at each other so conversationally, which is totally the vibe of this song. And I love that they were able to have such a lighthearted performance because I think that totally goes along with the lyrics and like the style that they wanted. But I feel like they're rapping to each other as much as they're rapping and, you know, like performing out to the audience.
For the audience.
And so again, just feeding off of each other so much.
Perfect balance of both. Yeah. Something that kept getting us was Yoongi's facial expressions. And for me, it was the use of the glasses he was wearing. He multiple times would look into the camera while peering over these glasses, like looking down, tilting his head down so his eyes can glance at us over these glasses. And boy, too much. It was too much.
I especially liked when he would whip those glasses off, because he took them off and put them back on a couple times. But the looks that he gives with his glasses off, because he really has this like super bare face, it seems, you know, like not much makeup going on, not much like anything on his face. And especially at the end of the performance, towards the end, they kind of zoom in and he doesn't have the glasses on, and he has this like little look of like shock or confusion, like because they're asking about like what is respect to each other.
What
you know?
Is respect, yeah.
And I just feel like he's so freaking cute. Like he just looks like a boyfriend. He looks like mm-hmm. everybody's boyfriend. And yeah, super adorable. Love.
Truly, I felt that Namjoon was in his element for the performance. The entire time you look at Namjoon, he's being a total weirdo. he is hamming it up for sure.
Yeah.
But it made me happy that they seemed relaxed. They seemed that they were out there having a good time. They were having fun. They made each other feel comfortable. And Namjoon, I just can't get over Namjoon, guys. I need a fan cam of just him for this performance because yeah. he's wild.
Oh, I would love that fan cam. I can't get over him. I feel like he looks so hot in this suit, but it's like the dichotomy of how good he looks along with how dorky he's being and how much he's hamming it up. I just think they were really able to be free and have fun together. As far as like my overall mm-hmm. thoughts, like I think this is my favorite Bang Bang Con performance. I just yeah. love this subunit. I love this song. I love their execution. I feel like it was such a fun performance, and mm-hmm. I cannot stop thinking about it. So
yeah, again, I feel that the set and the vibe and the outfits all perfectly suited respect. I will say at the beginning how I had a little bit of trouble processing what I was even looking at because it was so different. And I'm so yeah. glad that they did this. I absolutely love the playful, dorky, fun Namgi interaction.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Perfect performance for respect. So right after respect, the stage rotated once more, and we see a stage that is a bus stop. There's a bench. There's a bike in the left corner. There's a poster of Taeyong and Jimin on the left wall from a concert hanging up. There's also like a vintage sepia filter over the performance. And of course, this performance is Friends with Taeyong and Jimin. They walk out and they're wearing school uniforms, and Jimin is carrying a backpack, and he will see during the performance, he unzips one of the outside pockets and he has a couple little dumpling mm. props, because of course they talk about the dumpling incident in the song.
Yeah. I just felt that the entire performance was just so cute. It was so adorable. Their mm-hmm. vocals together are just really great. The difference and contrast in their vocals, I think, pair well together. And there was so much harmonization that went on. I love when they harmonize. I think it really goes on to show just how much more vocal skill they have when they do that. So I was really pleased with their vocals and just like how cute the performance was.
Yeah. I'm glad that we had an event like this, the Bang Bang Con, the live, because I really don't think that this song would have ever been performed live in any capacity because their voices are so different and have such different qualities. So I think it's a miracle that they even made this song and they put it on the album because of how like Jimin's voice is so high and can be so light and he can really get up there, and Taeyong's voice can be so soulful and he can get so deep. And like they're so different. But during this live performance, I totally agree with you. They sounded incredible together. They had that harmonization going on mm-hmm. and they're just super cute the entire time. I really loved at the end when they hold hands, like when the whole song is kind of coming together to its climactic moment, they're yeah. hitting their high notes. They're singing that they're each other's soulmate. They're smiling at yeah. each other. And, you know, I loved that part. That was everything that I needed.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And throughout the whole performance, there's these subtle throwbacks to like them holding their pinkies together, which they've done in the past, obviously the dumpling incident. So it was just overall really fucking cute.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely like a walk down memory lane seeing them in their school uniforms, seeing the dumpling incident, seeing them just like kind of go, maybe, you know, what it looks like when they're going to or coming home from school when they were growing up together. I kind of felt like watching this performance, though, that maybe it wasn't super rehearsed. Like, they definitely had plans and ideas of what they were going to do for their performance, but maybe just in the shuffle of preparing for everything else, like, their specific performance didn't get rehearsed a ton, because it seemed like some of their choreography, like, some of their walking, like, Jimin would kind of lead Taeyang over, like, okay, we're going over here now, and we're going to walk across the stage, or, you know, like, maybe there was like a bit of like awkwardness with the choreo aspect of the performance, if that makes sense.
Well, there wasn't choreo, and I think the main component and substance of the performance was all those little throwbacks, and I just think that it wasn't super rehearsed, and that they were kind of trying to sing and perform the song while also like kind of trying to silently communicate, oh, are we going to do this then, or this here, or whatever.
Right.
They had an idea of what they were going to do, and I think in general they had rehearsed it to an extent, but yeah, I think there was a little bit of disjointment, I guess, that was going on.
Well, I think it's hard to tell a story. It was like they were almost doing like a little mini play in this performance, and it's already hard to do a performance, you know, without an audience like that. So I think kind of melding those two things came out a little weird. I think I just expected something different from such a fun song. But then again, at the end, in that climactic moment, they're holding hands, they're smiling at each other, they're singing. That to me was like, it pulled it all together. And that was like, okay, I feel like I got my V-min moment that I really needed.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So then after this, they went into another mint. We just want to briefly explain that they did a little preview of a couple concert songs that they're kind of holding off to perform for the live concert, which hopefully happens. But they did a little bit of UG, and they did a little bit of 0 o'clock, which we're so excited for those songs, and I'm glad that they're holding off on performing them.
I am too. I just, before we move on, I have to slide in Jimin's boxing dance move that he did during the little UG snippet. I just thought, I don't know why, he just gives me major Prince vibes, and I just, I feel like it's this whole look about him. He has that vibe, and I love this boxing dance move that he did. It was super cute.
It was really cute.
So right after they did this little mint, they went right into a Black Swan performance. This was the only song that they performed that they're going to tour with. The set was super cool. It had a total under the sea feeling, because there was like kelp or seaweed or something kind of suspended from the ceiling above them, and kind of aquatic plant life all around them. So it was kind of different than we've seen, but kind of the same kind of vibe, you know. It was a cool set.
I thought it was beautiful. That set was beautiful. I love the undersea feeling. Mm-hmm. I thought it went really well with their typical kind of watery, dark, cool tone stage lighting that they go for with Black Swan. Mm-hmm. For me also, I just watching it, I love Black Swan. Obviously, guys, I love it so much. The choreography is incredible. So to see them perform it now, they are so well versed. They are so well versed in this song and this performance. They literally performed it perfectly.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
They did. I mean, absolutely flawless. And that's not just the choreography, it was the vocals, it was the rapping, it was the angles, and you know, the soap transition synchronization, just every aspect of it was literally perfect, top quality. I'm sorry that I keep talking about Jimin so much, but during this performance of Black Swan, he was really giving me those super sexy fake love vibes, because he has that black hair and this, like, you know, it's the blue lighting and, you know, just that kind of darker look. I'm swooning. I'm swooning. Ugh. But obviously all of them look so fucking hot.
Yeah. I just have to point out during the performance, during the concert when we were watching it together, I don't know at what point I did this, but Jimin was being just over the top and I reached over to Kayla and I slapped you several times really hard. And I'm sorry for how hard I was slapping you, but Jimin was just like...
Yeah, I probably have a bruise.
You hit me back, which is what was really funny.
Yeah, because you hit me so hard. I was like, I'm hitting this bitch back. That hurt.
Yeah.
But you were this is just who you are. And I love it about you is that you get overwhelmed and you have to get it out. You flip them off. You hit physically. Somebody. You have to physically expel, you know.
Yeah.
I understand, though. Jimin is too much.
Too much.
Just you swatting me really hard. You're fucking biased.
Yeah, I was like, get him out of here.
I'm sorry, I can't.
So after this, they performed Boy With Love. But we have seen Boy With Love so many times, and it made me really think about Break the Silence, where they had a conversation in there. I don't remember if it was Namjoon or Hobie or who, but they were hitting on the topic of like, how do we keep ARMY's interest? How do we change things up just enough? And they really applied that to Boy With Love, a performance we've seen a lot of, but that we and most people can't get enough of because it's a great song. But they ended up changing the choreography. And hello, Umbrella choreography. They had these really cute see-through transparent umbrellas that had rainbow lighting on them.
Yeah, just LED lighting that I think the lights people could change. Though that color lighting of the umbrella as much as they could with the army bomb background that they had on the stage too. I thought that was so cool. How they totally changed it up on us. And to me, this made it a brand new performance. It was like I was seeing it for the first time again because this umbrella choreography was so fun.
Yeah.
I feel like they were able to incorporate them in so many different ways. And it also kind of reminded me of the music video because the music video referenced Singing in the Rain very much.
Yeah,
Umbrella,
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. The other thing that I saw a lot of people when this performance was happening, Twitter was aflame talking about how this is Pride Month right now and BTS from the first note of this song had rainbow lights lighting up all of the army bombs rainbow across the background. And so they really felt like this is BTS supporting Pride Month in their own way.
I
thought that was
that.
Cool.
For my overall thoughts, I just think this song is such a crowd pleaser. And so I'm glad that they continue to perform it. I'm glad that they added the umbrella choreography and they changed the choreography and the lighting. Definitely the rainbow lighting very much got the Pride Month vibes. So, yeah, I was in love with it. I absolutely loved it. It was the change up we needed.
Yeah, definitely. I love how at the end of this, like towards the end of this song, they kind of take us on a trip through the different rooms of the concert, starting with Jin. He kind of starts off running. So he runs from all the way one side of the stage over to the second stage and to end on the largest stage to end the song. And it made me think of during a concert when they're out performing at the second stage and then it's kind of time for them to start wrapping up the concert and they all start running back up the runway to the main stage. And I was like,
yes,
I knew it was coming. But yeah, it was cool that they like incorporated even that little run into this concert. I loved it. So they immediately went into their ending ment right after finishing the song. And what we realized from watching their ment, really like the overall theme that we took away from it, is how tough it was on them to perform to an audience-less room for this entire concert. Yeah. We've touched on it throughout this episode so far. But really, how hard, because they literally live for concerts, is their favorite part about what they do. And for them to put on a concert for us to enjoy, we're home screaming. We are home, like, you know, getting almost everything out of it that we would if we were at a normal, regular in-person concert, right? And they're getting none of that payoff. They don't get to hear our screams. They don't get to see our love. They don't get to have that feedback, you know? So it's amazing that they did this for us, but it's so sad for them, to me, that they didn't get to experience, you know, their payoff for all of their hard work and their effort.
And the screams and all the love from their fans and ARMY. Yeah, I cannot imagine how difficult it was for them to stay high energy and to really feel and present themselves as they would for a concert, because they know us ARMYs at home, that's what we were looking for and expecting. And yeah, like you were saying, they don't get that fulfillment of seeing us and cheering, you know, cheering for them. I imagine it was very difficult, and they all talked about that in their ending meant that it was a challenge,
and that they were hoping to bring, you know, bring it into it. And they hope that we felt, you know, they hope that we felt that way about the concert or whatever, but obviously they had no idea what our reactions were during that time too, you know, even if they, after the concert, saw on Twitter or read through all of the comments on the live feed or anything like that, like it's still not them experiencing it in real time.
Yeah, of course. So they all kind of touched on how they hope to see us soon and that they can't wait to perform for us live and whatnot. But when Namjoon gave his ending mint, he expressed his concern that this might be the future for their concerts, and really putting out the idea and the reality that that might be our new norm, that this might be our new norm. And that was hard for me to swallow, because I am so badly wanting to see them again. And we all are. We all are. Mm-hmm. We've been anticipating this concert, but no one in nothing, there's nothing we can do about current events that are going on now. So for Namjoon, the leader of the group, to be bringing forth this harsh reality was upsetting. And I'm glad that he addressed it. But when I was watching with you, that was when I first cried for the whole concert. It was like, oh my God, I don't want that to be the case. But he's really putting it out there that it could be.
And they don't want that to be the case either.
Yeah. So then they go in to say that they're kind of wrapping up the concert and that these next performances are their last. So we get Go-Go next. So fun. I love Go-Go. I really do. But guys, this version of Go-Go, they changed it up. This song that is traditionally very fun and cute and adorable and lots of goofy moments turned into this super sexy, hot performance, like the hottest performance of Go-Go ever. Yeah. We literally get red lighting, like up lighting of just red. The whole stage is flooded with red. Super sexy. Jimin comes out from the get-go, the sex appeal is on, fully like turned up all the way.
Yeah, smoldering bedroom eyes the entire time. Thank you for bringing it up so I didn't have to. Literally, I think they have to know that all of us go fucking crazy for red lighting. BTS in red lighting, instantly hot, instantly so
it's
sexy.
It's a mood.
I cannot believe how different the vibe of this performance is, like compared to like a Go-Go comeback stage, like bright colors, happy overalls, like cute little beanies compared to this. And like this, like, you know, like black and leather and like sexy clothing, you know, just so different.
Very
overwhelming.
Different.
Incredible.
A good change up. Yeah. And then, of course, I have to mention at the end, they just always eat that final dance choreography at the end, especially Jungkook, man. He goes so hard for that Go-Go choreo at the end.
They do. What we think is the last song is Anpan Man. They go immediately into it after ending Go-Go. And there's this massive floating army bomb with a cape that's above them. And there's a look of pure determination on the face of this army bomb.
It's cute.
Super cute that they include this.
It's so cute.
Just hearing and seeing this performance again, in my own private kitchen concert took me right back to Fort Worth and seeing it there and really, really made me feel like I was at a concert once again, like really drove that home to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I love En Pan Man so much, but every time I see En Pan Man performed, Hostock's energy continuously blows my mind for this performance. He brings his all. I love how he controls the choreo. He's just very vibrant in his element for this performance. So I just have to give him a shout out because his energy was like, I was so captivated by it.
Yeah.
So then at the very end, we are waiting for the encore. And while we're waiting, we see this army bomb set of lights that all read or spell out Bangbangkan and BTS, Heart's Army, BTS. Then as like the encore is happening, we're waiting there anticipating the encore, and when BTS returns to stage, we hear them doing their own fan chant, like hyping themselves up as if they're like chanting along with us, like they can hear us at home, saying Kim Namjoon, Kim Seokjin, Min Yoongi, Jung Hoseok, Park Jimin, Kim Taehyung, Jungkook, BTS.
Yes.
So cute. So cute.
So cute. I think they're so used to the ritual of changing and getting ready for the encore and just hearing ARMY outside just screaming, chanting for them that, you know, of course they had to include themselves doing that. I thought that was awesome. They come out and they do their final ment, which just really consists of them saying goodbye, which is like, no, how did we already get here? I thought that this was going to be permanent and forever. And now you're telling me that it has to end. Very sad.
It really has to end this time.
Yeah.
But they did the perfect encore stage, which was Spring Day. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the perfect ending. I think we all know in our hearts that We Are Bulletproof the Eternal is being saved for the live concert. And I'm so glad that they're saving it. And so I'm really glad that they changed it up and they brought back a timeless classic that we rarely get to see anymore, which is Spring Day. Mm-hmm. The mother, like this song is just the mother of BTS songs.
Yes. And this song, like the choice of this song to me really drove home the feeling that BTS is waiting for us as much as we're waiting for them, hoping and praying that that metaphorical spring day will come where we can see each other safely again. I just thought that it was absolutely the perfect ending. I totally agree with you.
So as always with the actual concerts, I get so sad at the end when they're saying goodbye, and I just full on tears were streaming down my face while we were watching this together, because not only is it Spring Day, but then they're all saying goodbye at the end, and it's just like, it goes by so fast, so fast.
And you enjoy it so much when it's happening, like literally peak enjoyment, so happy during this entire performance, and then it's gone, it's ending. I cried originally, like I definitely teared up originally when I was first watching it, but I didn't again when I rewatched it with you. What I enjoyed was that they really took their time to say goodbye throughout, you know, performing Spring Day. And then when it was over, they had really long instrumental playing as they're kind of walking around the stage, and they turned to walk back up that hallway that they originally came down performing Dope at the beginning. And they're just taking their time walking down that hallway. They keep turning around and waving. And that really, again, really made it feel like a concert when they really take their time to say goodbye, and they make sure to try to say goodbye to everybody in the crowd and in all different places. And then at the end, they do this final pose in front of the double doors. Super cute. I have the picture. I'll have to insert the picture into the Google Doc. But it's so cute. And then they all exit out, and Namjoon is the last one, and he closes the doors.
That's the end. So perfect that he's the one to close the door.
And he opened it at the beginning with Dope, you know, and so it was really, I mean, the whole concert was really cyclical. I feel like they had a really good beginning and end. They had such a great concept, and like the set list was incredible. I think we enjoyed it so much. And, you know, for me, I mean, we've both talked about this. It really filled our army hearts, even if it's for a brief moment. We just really got those feelings of being at a concert, and for a little bit, those feelings of missing them so much kind of subsided.
Yeah, definitely. I, of course, like teared up as I always do at the end of concerts. But for me, I just agree with you completely when you say it felt like an actual concert. It really felt like you were there. It felt like you were seeing them. And personally, whenever I go and see BTS in concert, I have that emotional release at the end. But also, for some reason, after seeing Taeyang in person at a concert, it's like I fall in love with him all over again. And that happened for BonBonCon for me. And I'm just, this whole week, I have been swooning over Taeyang. I have been spamming Kayla's phone with so many Taeyang pictures. I was like, wow, okay, this really felt like a true concert experience, because I remember for the Speak Yourself stadium tour in Chicago, driving back home to St. Louis in my car, having Singularity on repeat, even though I had listened to Singularity hundreds of times before that, and I just couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah, just, I love that you were able to feel like renewed in your deep, passionate love for Taeyang through this concert. Yeah. I just want to reiterate how grateful we are that BTS performed and put on this event for us, even though it was incredibly challenging to do in such a setting without the audience there. We really cannot commend them enough for how much energy, how much excitement, how much fun they brought to the stages together, even without the reward of the cheers and the screams from ARMY. They just did such an incredible job.
Such a great job. Thank you, BTS, so much.
Thank you. So that's kind of our end of our review about BangBangCon the Live. But before we end this episode, we do have a little email to share with you guys. So on the spot of, so when we talked about that controversy, we definitely told one side of it and talked about what Big Hit and Yoongi did in reaction to the backlash about his inclusion of a Jim Jones clip at the beginning of What Do You Think? So Michelle, who had sent in that voice message that was at the top of this episode, she also, right after sending that, sent us this incredible email. And I just want to share it because I think it offers a really good alternative perspective to this entire What Do You Think controversy. So she says, "Hi, Kayla and Bethany. I was mystified when the tweets concerning What Do You Think started to surface. I could not believe it. I knew about Jim Jones and the Jonestown Massacre, like you, I've read and watched and listened to features about it. I also knew of the existence of the Jim Jones speech sample on one of Yoongi's tracks. It was featured on something she thinks maybe Bring the Soul. And he played it for us while he was working on a track, and it was quickly identified. So to me, that's new information. I didn't know that he had played a part of it on Bring the Soul. I didn't know that people had identified it. So I think we do know for sure it was definitely him that chose it and put it into the song. It wasn't like some random Big Hit producer." But Michelle goes on to say, "When the album dropped and I heard the track, I simply thought he's a genius. Creatively, it worked with the lyrics and the music to set an intention of the piece. It never crossed my mind that the sample was used in any way to glorify, celebrate, or God forbid, agree with either Jim Jones or what happened at Jonestown. I couldn't understand why any ARMY would think so. It also seemed to me that even if people didn't think Yoongi used it for that intention, they still objected to the use of the sample, given who it was sampled from. That's fine, everyone has a right to voice their opinion, but it's the latter point I disagree with. What really made me angry was the Big Hit apology statement and subsequent reposting of the track without the sample. First, I don't believe an apology was necessary, though I do see why Big Hit felt the need to do so from a business point of view. Totally understandable. Second, I have trouble believing that it was the fault of a producer. Yoongi's a detailed perfectionist when it comes to his music. I believe he chose that sample because it set the scene and it was his right to do so as an artist. Third, and most galling of all, is the fact that what do you think has been censored in this way? Music is art. It is subjective. It is meant to make you think, to provoke a reaction. No one asks an artist to remove something uncomfortable for you to look at from their painting. Think of a censored Guernica. If you find it distasteful, that is your right, but you can choose to not look at it again. If you don't like a book, you would not dream of asking an author to rewrite or admit or omit a paragraph you disagree with or find distasteful. You may choose to simply stop reading the book or finish it and never look at it again. You could even explore why it strikes you this way and use it as a learning opportunity. Censoring by removing some part of the creative output is a terrible thing to do to an artist. What is worse, I fear it sets a worrying precedent. If people have forced this once, they will do so again. I do not want BTS or any musical artist to be Disney-fied, so nice in their blandness that it becomes meaningless. I hate that this happened to Yoongi, someone so brutal, honest, and fragile in his music. I don't want to think that he will second-guess himself and err on the side of caution because of this. I don't want to see that creativity that touches us shackled. Sorry for the rant, but I was happy to hear your views and I felt I could respond. Right, I'm off to listen to the episode and the fanfic of Bethany. I'm so excited. Love as always, Michelle. So, wow. I know that was long, but I just felt like this was a completely different perspective than we brought to the table when we discussed it. And I think that it's worth noting the dangers of censorship. We've talked about censorship with books, and I think about censorship of like books in education curriculum and stuff like that.
In education, for sure. That's where I go to.
Yeah. So, I mean, should an artist be censored this way? And after reading and hearing Michelle's perspective, I really have to agree. I feel like I agree that it shouldn't have been taken out, and that if people stopped and waited for an explanation a little longer, or maybe again felt like addressed why it struck them that way or what his intention was. You and I talked about that Calliope was supposed to sound creepy. I still, on the Apple Music, you still have the Jim Jones version with the sample at the beginning, and to me that clip adds such a haunting, creepy feel.
Very haunting, very creepy. Just like that creepy organ, Calliope, carnival feel. But to also hear that snippet at the beginning of Jim Jones, which we did not know until all of this kind of went into the like army community where they were all talking about it. It is supposed to raise the hairs on your spine. It's supposed to send a shiver down your spine. It's supposed to be creepy and uncomfortable. Yeah. And I do think that he intentionally used it to set the scene and set the tone of the song. So, I think originally when we talked about it, we really saw that like Big Hit did an apology and all this other stuff, and that maybe he didn't intentionally use it. But it was great to hear Michelle's point of view and discussion into the problems that can come with censorship. I love that she's like, would you ever ask an author to rewrite or omit a paragraph, or an artist who's created a painting that maybe strikes you in an uncomfortable way, to use that as a learning opportunity or to explore the feelings of discomfort that you're facing? I think that is what art is supposed to do. So yeah, I had not really taken this point, I've not really looked at this point of view for the controversy with the What Do You Think Jim Jones sample. Yeah. So I'm grateful that Michelle sent this in. I think it's just something to ponder, and I hope you guys kind of think on it too. Like, I don't know if there's one right or wrong either way, but it's just good to see both sides.
I think it's just a lesson, you know, to continually, you don't have to form a fast opinion. Think for yourself, you know, look at multiple sides. I think that's a lesson for us too. We really approached it, I think, one-sided when we even spoke about it. And
yeah, we did.
So I just think it's a continual lesson of growth and learning to just, you know, figure out how you're taking in information and really critically think about it for yourself, instead of just following the outrage that everybody else is calling for, you know? Okay, so if you guys are still here with us, thank you so much for listening to our I Bang Bang Con Conic the Live.
I Bang Bang Conic the Live.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for being here and for listening and for supporting us. We really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, there's a few things that you can do to let us know. You could write a review for us on Apple. That helps us out so much, means so much to us. You could write a review on whatever platform you listen on as well. You could email us about your opinion. You could DM us on Instagram or Twitter what you thought about the episode. And of course, follow us on social media as well. As always, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
In the description. Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.